And now let's turn to another topic in our series on healthcare this week, the ongoing shortage of family doctors in this country. Believe it or not, this is also about cost. More medical students today are going into more lucrative specialties instead of pursuing the much-needed general practitioner route. And now new research from the USC Brookings Schaefer Initiative for Health Policy explores the why behind this shortage, and they do that by looking at Medicare. In this study, Dr. Paul Ginsberg and others look at the way that Medicare pays for services and subsidizes medical students' graduate education, and they find there's definitely dollars and cents behind this. I spoke with Ginsberg more about it via Skype, and I began by asking him to explain how Medicare helps pay for some medical students' schooling.
Well, actually, yes, Medicare has important programs that pay for graduate medical education. This is the stage of medical students' careers when they've graduated medical school and they're doing residency programs. So that's where the support comes in. And the notion behind it, which has gone on for decades, is that, you know, students and residents provide services as well as getting trained, and Medicare should be paying its share of what it gets as far as services from these residents.
So how does this end up affecting which specialties that medical students often choose?
Some people have looked to making changes in Medicare's way of financing graduate medical education as a way of addressing the primary care specialty mix. But in our study, we looked at how the different Medicare incentives that we could contemplate were actually overwhelmed by the incentives from the distorted payment system that teaching hospitals are responding to. To put it in more concrete terms, Medicare can pay more to train family physicians, but it's so much more lucrative for teaching programs to be training surgeons that they're probably not going to change very much if Medicare changes its way of funding graduate medical education.
Okay, so describe for us that distorted payment system you're talking about here.
Medicare developed a fee schedule, which it implemented in 1992, that determines the relative value for different services. And not only does Medicare pay this way, but commercial insurers and Medicaid programs have all adopted the Medicare relative value scale. So if Medicare is paying too little for services such as evaluation and management, that is very discouraging on new medical students and residents to be choosing primary care and other specialties, which are mostly based on visits rather than doing procedures.
So walk me through what happens as a result of that then. What is the next step?
Well, you know, what happens is that the incomes in specialties such as radiology and dermatology and a number of surgical specialties is much higher than incomes for primary care, you know, family physicians, pediatricians, general internists or psychiatrists. And this really affects choices that students make. No surprise.
Yeah. So we know that we have a shortage of general practitioners in medical care here in America. And you say that this is contributing to that shortage, which makes a lot of sense. How much is it affecting it? Can you measure it?
Well, I would say that the payment system probably explains most of it. There are some other factors now that, some young physicians are looking for, family-friendly specialties where they don't go on call and they have regular hours. Maybe they can work part-time. But for the most part, I think the differences in income are very important. I mean, of course, there's the students' natural interests, but the payment system is a major impediment to getting the specialty mix right.
That makes sense because debt for medical students is probably also pretty overwhelming.
That's right. Actually, students these days probably have less flexibility to pursue what they'd really like to do because many of them have so much debt. In contrast to if you go back, 10 or 20 years ago, where debt was a smaller factor.
So what would you recommend? What would you like to see happen to help encourage students to become general practitioners or to shift the way that this payment system works to begin with?
Well, I think that the most important thing, which, many policy thinkers have been calling for some time, but it hasn't happened, is to try to revamp the way that Medicare pays for services. But barring that, you can try to change the way graduate medical education is paid for, or use the Medicare program, use the funds that might have gone to graduate medical education, and use it instead to provide incentives such as loan forgiveness to medical students and residents that choose primary care careers as long as they stay in them for a set period of time.
Yeah. Are there any efforts out there like that at this point, or does this work differently maybe in another country where you see different results?
Well, you know, in other countries, it's very different because in other countries, students don't pay anything for medical training, and governments play a role in deciding how many slots they will fund in different specialties.
What kind of results are we seeing in the country as a result of this shortage of general practitioners? I mean, are we starting to see too many of them retire? Are we starting to see a gap in medical care in that way?
Well, you know, it's hard to say. We do know that a system that's as imbalanced as ours towards procedural specialties is always a more expensive system. That's what some research has shown. And I think that's what we see. You know, the inability to find a primary care physician, that hasn't really seemed to have been a problem so far. And part of that is that there's been very rapid growth in nurse practitioners and physician assistants who, in a sense, have been able to augment the physician workforce. But you see problems down the road because a fairly high percentage of nurse practitioners and physician assistants are doing specialty care, working in specialty practices. So this may not be a long-term solution.
Paul Ginsberg is the director of the USC Brookings Schaefer Initiative for Health Policy, whose latest research looks at the connection between Medicare's payment system and our nation's shortage of general practitioners.